Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we take care of mom and dad and grammy and grampy? California's single most reliable source on everything related to the issues of aging. What's the appropriate level of care? And of course, the two questions I've been asking for 18 years, who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? If you don't have the answer to those questions, you have a problem. I have a very special guest who I've been trying to get on the radio for approximately 37 years. And she has finally agreed. Those of you that get my newsletter, you got a newsletter yesterday saying I have a special guest. I'll introduce her in a minute. First, let me get out some stuff that I have to do every week. Say it along with me, those of you that have been listening for 18 years. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license, recorded in Sacramento County. I'm not securities licensed. I'm not a CPA. I don't give tax advice. Remember, everything we talk about here is my opinion only. And most importantly, remember, I am not licensed to re-roof your house. So we get out all those things that I'm not. Numbers here in the studio, because you may have a question for my guest today. Remember the number here in the studio, if you're in Sacramento, of course, 921-1530, or if you're outside the area, 800-924-1530. You know, I don't give that out all the time. I got to double check and make sure I gave the right number. 834-1530. If you're outside the area, 800-834-1530. Or if you're in Sacramento, 921-1530, and we'll take your questions. Also, remember my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. My email, you can go there and email me or contact me or get in to see me. The best way to contact me always is my phone number, which is 800-999-8007. Well, Bob, why do you have an 800 number? You're in Sacramento. Because I have some clients that aren't in Sacramento. 800-999-8007. You can always email me directly at bob@assetsandaging.com. And you can always also follow me on Twitter, although I've been bad at it lately. My handle is at Assets and Aging. But again, 800-999-8007. What else? Oh, don't forget my podcast this Wednesday and every Wednesday at noon. And if you're not on my email newsletter, remember that's the only way for you to get information on my podcast. You can sign up on my website or you can sign up for my free newsletter at bob@assetsandaging.com. Some news, I'll talk more about this later next week. My last show will be on the 27th of this month. Now, I have some other information I will share with you later, but my last radio show at this time slot will be this on the 27th of December. So you're going to want to listen. And for those of you that have the chance, call up your friends, call up your neighbors, call up Grammy and Grampy, because you're going to want to hear my guest. I've asked her to stay here for the whole entire hour. There are very few people in life who can stand me for a whole entire hour, and she's kind of one of them. I've known her for a long time, Trina, why don't you introduce yourself? And everybody just listen to this. Turn up the radio and listen for the next hour. Introduce yourself and tell people who you are.
My name is Trina Kaplow, and I am an administrator for College Oak Nursing and Rehab. It is a nursing home, also known as a skilled nursing facility here in Sacramento.
And she's not an administrator. She is the administrator. She knows everything there is to know about nursing homes. And I will say this because she will not. It is the best nursing home, certainly in Sacramento and probably in the state of California. Those of you that have been listening for me or those of you that are my clients, I am proud to say I have sent lots and lots of people to College Oak over the years. And if I had to go in a nursing home, that would be my first choice. So we're going to talk about nursing homes today, you and I. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit of a different way. I'm going to create a little scenario, and we want to talk about stuff that the average person out there who, when they're confronted with this disaster in their life of an ill parent or a spouse or whatever, is thrown into a situation that not only don't they know anything about, but is just completely, totally overwhelming. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, I would agree. It's often a traumatic experience or a crisis experience.
Okay, so Dad, I always pick on Dad. Dad falls and breaks his hip, or Dad has a stroke, and the first thing that happens is Mom or the daughter or somebody calls an ambulance. And the ambulance takes them to, you know, Acme Hospital. We don't want to pick on any hospitals here, but takes them to Acme Hospital. Now, the game has just begun, hasn't it? Upon arrival at Acme Hospital.
Yes.
And where does this start? We want to go to rehab, but we want to walk people through, and lots of you have been through this that are listening. We want to walk people through, because I'm telling you right now, folks, what we're going to talk about will save lives, will save discomfort, will save families from grief. So we're now at the hospital. Dad is wheeled into the emergency room, and what process has begun?
Critical care. So the patient has to be stabilized and treated for whatever it is that has brought him to the hospital.
And let's say for the sake of argument that it's a stroke. It could be, people go to hospitals. In fact, there's this myth that everybody in a nursing home is incompetent. And that is simply not true, is it?
Not true at all.
Yeah, in fact, most people in nursing homes are not incompetent. Most of them are there, or a large percentage of them are there for physiological reasons, not psychological reasons. So Dad is now treated. He's got a broken hip. He can't go home because, you know, his hip hurts. It broke his hip, or he had a stroke. And he's in the emergency room. And now the next part of the game begins, which is what?
Typically, he is admitted to the hospital. He is put into a regular hospital bed from the emergency room. And it's important to know whether he is actually admitted or that he is placed in what is called observation status.
Now, this is really important to people listening. This is probably one of the most single important piece of information that people need to have when they take their loved one to a hospital. And that is that I was in the emergency room, and they put me on the gurney, and they took me up to a room on the third floor. They put me in the room. They stuck IVs in me. They fed me breakfast. Am I necessarily in the hospital?
No.
Explain that a little bit.
There's different. A patient has to be medically qualified to be admitted to a hospital. And if they don't have specific criteria to be admitted, then they are held in observation status. And where that makes a difference is when you go to leave the hospital, in order to have Medicare continue paying for the services when you leave the hospital, you have to have been admitted for 3 consecutive midnights in the hospital.
In the hospital. Now, and again, this is really, really, really confusing. My mom, and people on the air have heard this, my mom was in a hospital. She died recently. We got to the hospital, and she was in a room, but technically, she had never been admitted to the hospital. Now, I know those rules, you know those rules, but a lot of listeners, people out there listening, are very confused because they don't understand how do you get up to a room and you're not in the hospital. But it's important, I think it's really important for people, remember we're going through a scenario here, for people when they move from the emergency room up to a room, families need to ask what question of the doctor, of the staff, of the social worker, of everybody.
Are they admitted or are they in observation status?
And if they say, well, we're not admitting them, does the patient have any choice? Does the family and the patient have any choice as to how they're going to be classified?
I'm not quite sure how to answer that because a hospital would be familiar with what their what they consider medically necessary, what they believe Medicare will consider as medically necessary for an admission.
But the family certainly should be asking the questions.
Yes, you want to know. With medical situations, knowledge is power. And so it's going to make a difference on what is going to be covered financially following your discharge from the hospital.
Okay, we're going to stop there. We're going to take a little break so the station can make some money, which is a good thing. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about now we're in the hospital and we enter the world of rehab and Medicare. And we'll be back in a minute and we'll talk more with Trina. I'm here with Trina Kaplow, the director of College Oak Nursing Home. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Assets in Aging and Affording the Future. I'm here with Trina Kaplow, the director of College Oak Nursing and Rehab Center. Without a doubt, the best nursing home within 100 miles of here and the best rehab center within 100 miles of here. And we're talking about, now we're going to get to our subject. We spent the first quarter of our show talking about the process. Let's talk about rehab because people don't understand rehab. So dad's now in the hospital, and in order to get Medicare, because there's this belief in the public that Medicare pays for 100 days of rehab. Medicare pays for 100 days of nursing home. Is that a, and I know this is a tricky question, but is that really a true statement?
Somewhat. The true statement is that Medicare will pay for up to.
Oh, I'm going to stop you. Those are the magic words.
The magic words are up to.
Up to means it could be less than.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
As long as, and here comes the words that I'll keep coming back to again and again, is medically necessary. And so the nursing homes are the experts on knowing what is medically necessary for Medicare to continue paying. It's also important to note that Medicare will only pay 100% of the nursing home stay for days 1 through 20. Beginning on day 21 in a nursing home stay, the patient is required to pay a daily coinsurance rate of $157.50.
Now, in most cases, if they were still on Medicare and they have a Med Sup, a Medicare supplement, most or a lot, I don't even want to say most, but certainly a lot of Medicare supplements will pick up that deductible for the patient.
That is correct. But sometimes it'll only pick up 10 days of that.
Right. Yeah. And another thing I want to focus on, medically necessary, I like to use this term. The line of improvement has to be going up, right? In other words, dad has to be improving. If dad ceases to improve, doesn't cooperate, oh, don't do that anymore, it hurts, or mentally can't cooperate, Medicare has the right to what?
To stop paying for the services.
Right. Okay. Now, so first of all, dad has to have stayed in the hospital for 3 midnights.
For Medicare.
For Medicare to pay for rehab at the nursing home.
Correct.
Now, you don't have to do rehab at a nursing home, but in reality, most rehab, when I had my knees redone, one of the places they said they could send me to do rehab was a nursing home. And I was only 60 when I did it, it was just for rehab. So most rehab happens in a nursing home, and College Oak does rehab, don't they?
That is correct.
And they do it really well, folks. Really, really, really well. So dad, let's go through the process now. Dad has gone to the hospital. He's been there for 3 midnights. This is another important thing for you to remember. If your dad falls and breaks his hip or has a stroke at 3 in the afternoon, and they don't put him in the hospital until 3 the next morning, we've missed one of the midnights, haven't we?
Yes, that is correct.
And so understanding this process. Now, dad's getting ready to go to rehab, and mom's there or one of the kids there, and the hospital says, well, we're going to ship dad over to Shady Acres Nursing Home, and that's where he's going to do rehab. And 99% of the time, the family says, okay, let's do that. What did that hospital, and this happens a lot, folks, not tell the family?
Well, what hospitals should be doing, as a condition of participation in the Medicare program is the hospital should be providing the patient and their families with a list of facilities that are available to them in their area that accept their insurance.
In fact, aren't hospitals required by law? Trina's sitting here with a bunch of regs in front of us, okay? Required by law to let families know that they have a choice of where dad's going to go.
That is correct.
And they are obligated to tell the family that you could. I don't know how many nursing homes and rehab centers are in Sacramento, but there's 35 or 40.
There's quite a few.
I haven't counted recently. In fact, some hospitals now have rehab centers built into them.
Yes.
Okay. Under the Medicare rules, that patient has the right to pick a facility to do their rehab. It doesn't have to be the one that the hospital says you have to go to Shady Acres for your rehab.
That is correct. And so it's a smart idea for families to go and investigate the facilities. The fastest way to investigate a facility that you can go to is the Medicare website. All nursing homes across the United States are rated in a 5-star rating system by Medicare. So you can go to medicare.gov/nursinghomecompare.
I want everybody to write that down. I think I have a link to this on my webpage. I don't know, but say that again, because people can check out nursing homes independently by going to what website again?
medicare.gov/nursinghomecompare. And you type in a zip code or a facility name. You can select how the nursing homes are searched for. You can search them as a 5-star rated facility or 4-star rated facility. And it allows you to research the facilities.
And find out something about them. I want to talk about that a little bit in the second half hour that we spend together. But that rating, this is important, folks. A lot of people say, well, I don't have a computer, I didn't have time. When you walk into a nursing home, if I walk into College Oak this afternoon, okay, and I'm in nursing homes a lot, what has to be in the lobby in a prominent place?
The 5-star rating that Medicare gives your facility.
Or 2 stars or 4 stars.
Whatever your star rating is. Whatever your star rating is in the 5-star system, the same one that's currently on the Medicare website, has to be displayed in the lobby.
And it's a big sign. I mean, it's kind of hard to miss. And
I don't think it has to be giant.
No, but in your
the
place. Federal,
the Medicare website dictates to nursing facilities what the size of that poster has to be. And off the top of my head, I don't
know. But if you walk into College Oak, there's a big thing there.
Correct.
There's another thing that people need to figure out, too, that I think is really important. And it's usually posted close to where you walk in. And it has to do with staffing levels. People ask me all the time, Bob, how do I pick a nursing home? I don't know what's a nursing home. I don't know. And my number one answer always has been, always will be, forget the carpeting, forget the linoleum, forget the first thing you're going to look for is staff. And next to that 5-star rating or 4-star rating is another thing that's posted that talks about staff in what terms.
In California, there is what is called a minimum staffing requirement. It's called the 3.2 PPD. PPD stands for per patient day. So when you add up all of the nursing staff, those are the direct care staff and the LVNs and RNs in the facility in a 24-hour period of time, there has to be at least, at a minimum, 3.2 hours of nursing time dedicated to each and every patient currently in the facility.
And that's a really important number because with sick people, with people with dementia, with people who can't take care of themselves, having someone available to take care of them is really, 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 really important.
Yes. So the 3.2 is the minimum staffing, but the regulations specifically say that you have to be able to staff to meet the needs of your patients. So when you go into a nursing home to tour them, not only are you going to look for the 5-star rating or whatever their star rating is, but there has to be a document posted in the lobby which indicates what their PPD was for the last 24 hours. So if a facility is constantly running at 3.2, they're staffing at the minimum levels. Ideally, you'd like to see a facility that is staffed higher than 3.2.
So let's review, and then we're going to take a break in a minute. So dad's gone to the hospital. First, we have to determine admission versus observation. We're then looking for a minimum number of midnights called 3. We then are finding out that we have the right to pick the rehab facility. We have the right to... Now, I don't know if I have much time to talk about this, but a lot of times someone will say, well, Medicare's done paying with your dad at 8 o'clock this morning, so we got a bus coming to pick him up to take him to Acme Nursing Home at 10 o'clock. And the family's going, okay, I guess we have to do that. Does the family get to have some input into saying, wait a minute, we want to go check these places out first?
Yes, they do.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute. Don't go away. We'll be back to talk more about rehab and nursing homes. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to Assets and Aging. Again, I'm joined by Trina Kaplow, the director of College Oak Nursing and Rehab. We're talking about the process people go through in which they wind up in a nursing home, either as a long-term care patient, or today we're talking specifically about rehab. And again, remember, this whole system, if you've ever been through it, those of you that have been through it know exactly what I'm talking about. It's complex. It's convoluted. You have social workers involved. You have nurses involved. You have doctors involved. You have physical therapists involved. You have hospitalists involved. You have 8,000 people at the hospital telling you what's going to happen. And by the way, how many of you now know that an emergency room doctor can't admit you to the hospital? I bet you a lot of you didn't know that. It's the hospitalist that admits you to the hospital, not the nursing home doc. I mean, the ER doc. So I want to talk about something that's really important, and it'll sound convoluted, but I want you to begin to think about discharge at the time of entry, and. Trina said something to me that during the break that just blew me away. And she said, discharge and the rules and circumstances relating to discharge should never be a surprise. You have a regulation that I want you to read. I know regulations are boring, but I want you to read this regulation. And I want you to listen to this, folks, because it makes a difference in your loved ones' lives big time.
This is with regards to a discharge evaluation by the hospital, and it reads, the hospital personnel must complete the evaluation on a timely basis so that appropriate arrangements for post-hospital care are made before discharge and to avoid unnecessary delays in discharge.
In other words, the discharge process, when clients call me all the time, they'll say, well, you know, dad had a stroke, dad fell. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And my first discussion with them is you have to go to the discharge planner and you have to begin talking about the discharge plan. Because otherwise, one day they're going to walk in and say, at 10 o'clock this morning, we're putting dad in the van and we're taking him down to Shady Acres Nursing Home and he's going to have rehab there. And the family's going, I'm okay, I guess. And no one's told them that they have a choice, that they have the right to say, wait a minute, I want to go look at Shady Acres first or College Oak or whatever the nursing home is. I know that when I'm dealing with people, I know lots of times I call up the nursing home in advance and say, go check it out. Go find out if that's... How many people do you have wander in who want to see where it is that their dad's going to go?
Almost all the time. Patients will be told that they're being admitted to our facility. And so they come in and take a tour. And and we give them an education about what is expected for a rehab stay.
Now, conversely, and I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. How many times have you heard patients say, well, we wanted to come here because Bob said this was a great place, but the hospital said we couldn't come here?
Yeah. Patients are sometimes told that that College Oak has no beds available. And my advice is that when you are given this list of nursing facilities, or if the hospital directs you to one particular facility, go to the Medicare Nursing Home Compare site, pull up the facilities that are, you know, conveniently located for you, call them and see if they accept your loved one's insurance, and ask if they have beds available, and ask if they've received a referral from the hospital for your loved one.
And all of that, I cannot tell you. I know this all sounds, Bob, we're already lost. I understand. And it's because this, when this stuff happens to families, it is full of terror and stress and uncertainty and fear. And is after the fear of is dad going to die goes away, then what you're confronted with about where he's going to be taken care of. Is he going to be able to go home? What kind of rehab is he going to get? To say to somebody, well, we're going to send Bob to a rehab facility, it basically is a meaningless statement. In my world, the question would be, well, what kind of rehab? What are you going to do? What's it going to lead to? Is this going to lead to dad going home? Is this going to lead to dad being able to walk? I know you have a great rehab department, and I know part of your evaluation includes all those things.
That is correct. What is the most difficult emotional situation that we see with most family members is that when the hospital says rehab, people don't always realize that it is a nursing home that does the rehab. And so when their loved one is coming to a nursing home, there is just a tremendous amount of guilt. Lots of tears, and family members will well up in tears and say, I promised my parent I would never place them in a nursing home. And I don't know how to sign the paperwork to allow them to come here because I promised them I would never put them in a nursing home.
And I've told people for 1,000 years that I've been doing this that the 900-pound gorilla in the room always is guilt. And it's in that guilt, in my world, I think allows people to be manipulated by the system because they already feel guilty because, you know, what did we do? How did we allow dad to fall? Should we have stopped dad from eating steak? That's what caused his stroke. Whatever it is. And then you throw into that family dynamic where you have one child that absolutely thinks dad should be there, and you got another child that doesn't understand why dad can't go home, and you have an overwhelming situation.
Yeah. Oh yeah, family dynamics can make the the admission process even nuttier and more overwhelming. Typically what we see is the family member, oftentimes the parent lives with one of the children, and that child is exhausted and falling into medical problems themselves from the overwhelming task of caring for mom or dad. And when it comes time to be placed into a nursing home for rehab, the out-of-towner kids show up and demand that they go home and not be placed in a nursing home, but they're not willing to step in and provide the care and assistance back home for dad to be successful.
I want to talk about one other thing along with that. Documents. When a patient walks in and the kid's there or mom's there, what's one of the first things you want to see?
The power of attorney.
Yeah. And it better be a good one because you're going to be asking lots of questions and making sure that someone's empowered to, number one, sign your contract, number two, deal with doctors, deal with meds, deal with following, you know, whatever it is, who can get the medical records from the hospital and transfer them over to you. And so I've experienced this. You've dealt with your own family members in long-term care. I've dealt with it. And the first thing they ask for is, let me see your documents.
Yeah.
And I know you do that, and I know it's really, really important. I want to talk about the importance of people acknowledging the stress level of this. You've had family members in nursing homes and rehab. I've had family members in nursing homes and rehab. You're around this all day long. I'm around this all day long. For both of us, it's still stressful when it's you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Family dynamics make it very stressful.
And yet we kind of know what's coming, and we know kind of the questions to ask. And for people that are thrown into this, it's important that as they begin to unwind all of this, that from the day Dad gets out of the ambulance and he walks into that hospital, people need to begin to ask questions about how long is he going to be here? What are we going to be doing? What kind of care is he going to have? Trina's looking for something. I know she's got an idea here. And that conversation has to start from day one. What did you just find?
There are two documents that are on the Medicare website, and I can give the link to Bob later. But one is called Taking Care of Myself, A Guide for When I Leave the Hospital. It's put out by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And it gives, it's kind of a question and answer document that you can fill out yourself for how to prepare yourself. The other link is to a document called Your Discharge Planning Checklist for patients and their caregivers preparing to leave a hospital, nursing home, or other care setting. And it gives action items and notes that you can, another document that you can fill out to assist you and your family in walking through this process.
I will get those links and I will send them out to those of you that are on my email newsletter list. If you're not on my email newsletter list, it's free. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and sign up. Or you can send me an email at bob@assetsandaging.com. And I will also, on my podcast this Wednesday at noon, I will have information on both of these. We have to take a little break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Last chance if you have questions to ask them. Number here in the studio, 921-1530. We'll be back in just a second right here on Assets and Aging. Don't go away.
To a nursing home and you don't like it, what can you do?
Okay, we got two more things to talk about. Again, I'm joined by Trina Kaplow, resident genius, director of the best nursing home that I know of. And I can name you some other people, elder law people that she knows and that will tell you the same thing. I asked Trina, what have we not talked about and that she wants to talk about? And there's two things we want to talk about. One is, you've been told Dad's now in rehab. He's at Shady Acres Nursing Home. Dad's in rehab. And all of a sudden, 8 days have gone by, and you've been told he has 100 days because you read it somewhere. And the rehab center is saying, tomorrow at noon, Dad has to leave because he's not improving. And the family goes, well, he can't go home. Mom can't take care of him. He weighs 200 pounds, and he can't get on and off the toilet. He can't get in. He can't dress himself. Nope, sorry, tomorrow you got to leave. Anything we can do about that?
Patients or their families can request what's called a demand bill it's a Medicare appeal. If you think that they are not ready to be discharged either from the nursing home, or this also pertains to when they're in the hospital and you think they're not ready to be discharged from the hospital, you can request a Medicare appeal. And for California, there's an agency called Levanta who is the one who hears all of the appeals for Medicare.
And so people have a right to say, well, time out. We don't think Dad's ready to go home.
Yes, that is correct.
And we think he needs more rehab, or we think he needs this, or we think he needs to stay here a little while longer, or yes, whatever. The other question you asked me about is what happens if the family what?
Is directed to a nursing home and not given a chance to investigate their own nursing homes, or we have had circumstances where a patient has been I know of this circumstance where a family, the responsible party walks into the hospital and their loved one has already been transferred to a nursing home unbeknownst to them.
Yes.
And so,
by the way, I've had that happen to my clients. And I've had clients put in a taxi cab by a nursing home. And
not sent, a nursing home.
A rehab. No, but I've had them put in a taxi cab in a rehab facility and sent home.
Oh, yikes. That's surprising.
Yeah, even Trina's surprised at that one.
But yeah, I'm talking about when a family walks into the hospital and they've already been transferred to a nursing home without the opportunity to investigate what facility they want. Any patient who is admitted to a nursing home, if you're not satisfied with the services that you're receiving in that facility, you have a right to request assistance in transferring to another skilled nursing facility. So let's say after they've been admitted to Acme Nursing Home and you go tour other facilities because you're not satisfied with what's going on at Acme. Let's say, for example, you go and tour College Oak and we inform you that, yes, we have a bed available. You have the right to go back to Acme Skilled Nursing and tell them that you want your loved one transferred to another facility, and that nursing home has to assist you in that process. They have to fax the referral information over to the other nursing home that you're requesting, and if that nursing home has a bed available, can work with the insurance, and is able to accept your loved one, then that transfer gets facilitated.
People have a right. I've been on the air 18 years, and I've been screaming about this for 18 years. And I've been screaming at all of you listening out there that don't have a plan for this and haven't thought this through as your mom or dad or whatever get older. You are going to become victims of a system that, for a big chunk of a system, that at the end of the day, it doesn't really have a vested interest in letting you know all of your options. You have to understand what your options are. One of the reasons I'm completely biased. One of the reasons I have loved College Oak all these years is because one of the things that they do is they treat everybody that walks in there with respect. They assume that people have the right to know what's going on. They know that people have the right to be treated with respect. They understand how to deal with people who have dementia. They understand that families are scared, they're confused, they're guilt-racked, and that they've been told, pardon me, all kinds of junk. There are other words I'd like to use. All kinds of junk that is simply, positively not true. And I know that one of the things you spend a lot of time doing is overcoming what somebody else has been told somewhere else.
Yes, we often receive patients and families who are in crisis that they are being admitted to a nursing home. Everyone thinks that a nursing home is the end of life to be admitted to a nursing home. And the way that healthcare is delivered now, a hospital is the place for stabilization, and recovery now occurs in a rehab care facility, which is a nursing home.
Yes.
With specialized care. We provide physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, and specialized medical services.
Again, when we say therapy, it could be all kinds of things. I mean, when I had my knees done, one of the things they worked on was how to put my shoes on, or how to put my socks on, or, you know, because it changed all my balance points when I had my knees done, because my legs were in a different position. So there's more to physical therapy than toning up the muscles and bending people's legs and saying, here, how does this work? Teaching people how to climb stairs, teaching people how to descend stairs, teaching people how to use a wheelchair properly. And I have seen the physical therapy department at College Oak now for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, and it's the best on the planet also. I want to leave people with the thought that they have a right to pick their therapy, right?
Their facility.
Their facility. They have a right to understand the therapy that's being given to dad. They have a right to know what the results of that therapy are hoped for, not necessarily that it's going to happen, but what's hoped for. Right. They have a right to the appellate process if they don't think things are being done. They have a right to be in the rehab facility of their choice. They have a right to understand the difference between admission and observation, which is
huge,
okay? And people, when confronted with this, need to know, pardon me, that there are places they can go and get help, honest answers, not always comfortable answers, but honest answers, and that people need to understand that the process of discharge has to start with entrance into the facility. I'm so glad that Trina's been here. Thanks, folks. Give me a call, 800-999-8007. Get in. Make sure I have papers on this and information on this. Make sure you get in and have your plan put together. 800-999-8007. We'll talk to you later, and this show will be put up on my website by the end of the week. You all have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.